Okay, so welcome to the Cult TV Club. Today we're looking at the Omega Factor. We're here with Lisa.
Hey.
Alex.
Hey.
Angus.
Hello.
Gypsy.
Hello.
And Jeanette.
Hi.
And my name's Justin. Omega Factor was a sort of supernatural investigation show in 1979, so it's a precursor to things like The X-Files. And it starred James Hazeldine, but better known Louise Jameson, who was Leela in Doctor Who. And so this is a role she took after being in Doctor Who as Leela. I guess this is one of those things that is, I guess, a precursor to a lot of the supernatural investigation shows that we're all familiar with, but it's a bit different, as you'll find out. Has anybody seen Omega Factor before?
No.
I have not.
Loved it.
I guess it's who has, other than like the
promise. Yeah, who has?
I remember seeing it, but I don't remember anything about it. I know that I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's like when you were young and the memories hasn't kicked in properly yet.
Yeah. It might come back in snippets, but I
may.
Depends on the episode you watched.
12 at the time.
I know nothing about this show. Absolutely nothing until you brought it up, which I'm really excited about, because the only ever time that's happened when we've all come together was Cowboy Bebop, and that was such a great experience. So I'm really excited about learning something new today and watching something for the first time.
It's about that is I knew about Cowboy Bebop. I don't know about this.
It's BBC Scotland made by.
Cool.
And there's only one series, and the rumour is that there was supposed to be more, but Mary Whitehouse objected so strongly to it that it got canned. So
she's almost like our patron saint of this show. She gets
she
often.
Yeah. Like the opposite of a patron saint, the patron demon? No. Like the opposite of
the arch nemesis.
That's the one.
I thought we could have a theme of all the shows that Mary Whitehouse didn't like.
That was
every show.
Every show we watched.
Well, the episode she objected to the most was one called Powers of Darkness, which was about a witch's sort of revivification. So this week we're watching episode 4, which is called After Image. The reason I didn't pick Powers of Darkness was because it's a bit too self-contained, whereas I wanted something that showed a bit of the arc, so you get a bit of the
sort of the
brooding suspense, because it's more like BBC style, where all the episodes, the 10 episodes, form one story rather than the sort of Hollywood style, where at the time they were just, every episode was self-contained. Okay, so I guess we'll get on with Omega Factor, episode 4, After Image.
Let's do it!
Yes. Get rid of the suspense. Let's do the thing.
Let's do the thing.
Actually, no, more suspense, because it's suspenseful. Whatever. Yeah. Let's start the show.
Okay, and that was the Omega Factor, the episode The Afterlife. So what did people think? I guess it's quite a bit different than what you experience these days. What do you think, Lisa?
Actually, I really liked it, but I like it for, I guess if it was a show I'd watch today, it probably wouldn't grab me in the same way, but I think it's very simplistic, and I think that's probably the only difference between a similar type of show that you would watch today compared to this one in the 70s. There was very minimal music, there was very minimal theatrical lighting, there was very simple editing and trickery and sci-fi magic. It was very low budget, but it was very effective. Yeah, I think it used what it could. The fact that it didn't need a lot of those tricks to get us in or to get us scared or those jump scares, it was very effective considering.
Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm just about that. The storyline's simple, but it is done, presented in a really good way. It's not as though, like say these days, it feels as though it has to be like something more major than one of the main characters is kidnapped and almost brainwashed. It has to be something bigger and more important than that. But something basic as, oh, this is just simple brainwashing stuff, as though it could actually happen rather than something. It didn't even really feel supernatural. Like, it felt as though, yeah, if you did have somebody in a deprivation room and they were being controlled by whatever, then you probably could mind control them very easily without needing to have any psychics or supernatural anything. Whereas now we're probably like, okay, we're mind controlling them by this alien thing, and the alien thing, oh no, it's gonna explode, we need to kill everybody. That's, yeah, the simplicity of just having it be. The weirdest thing was probably the fact that I wasn't entirely sure what the, because I mentioned in the, near the end, yeah, she's been taken by an organization that was kind of the allies of Section 7, and like, okay, is that weird? Is that supposed to be? Yeah,
you're never supposed to quite know who you can trust. It's or if the
it's always fuzzy right to the end.
Yeah, she's been kidnapped and she's being brainwashed, but it's okay because it's the other good guys that are doing it. It's
I mean, they're just doing just because we need to brainwash it. Okay, why do we allow that?
But where was the world-ending plot? I mean, there was no world-ending plot.
Yeah, it wasn't even basically the only thing that was basically world-ending was the line, the side that gets my control is the side that wins and everybody else loses. Something like that. That's really the only thing really there.
Okay, Angus, what did you think about it? It's been a while since you've seen it.
Well, I remembered none of that.
Well, that's because you were mind controlled and you forgot the day.
Precisely.
Too many episodes.
Weirdly enough, it gave me very strong Blake 7 vibes, and it was purely due to the hairstyles.
The main character guy's perm.
But no, it was good. I liked it. It was very subtle. It was not like full on supernatural. It was like very subtle, and it led to more intrigue than just like
a lot of
supernatural things nowadays. Like, oh, we've got this, this world ending device. But this is more about which characters can you trust, which characters can't.
Yeah. And all of the cogs in the background and the,
It was interesting to watch.
Gypsy, what did you think?
I feel like my thought process of supernatural and everybody else's is very different.
That's okay.
Elaborate.
apparently, when you guys think sci-fi, you're thinking Darth Vader choking someone with his hand. I was thinking werewolves and vampires and voodoo shit. So definitely a curveball. Mildly disappointed. But no, the story was really, really good. I just was expecting something. When you said supernatural, I was expecting something a lot different. To me, seemed more like spy and that sort of thing. Like, definitely a lot more intrigue.
Yeah. But psychic phenomenon than supernatural phenomenon.
The series actually covers both, because in the 70s there was a lot more belief in this kind of thing. This is the time of Dennis Wheatley novels, and I don't know if you're aware of those, but Dennis Wheatley is witches being mixed with psychic events and occult. A lot of it was believed to be real by very important people, even, you know, so there was funding for proper research of supernatural events. This sort of reflected that.
It's like from 40 years ago now. The bits of it that's like, oh, we could probably be mind controlled, Banamedia controlling what we consume, and having like Facebook feeds be controlled by an algorithm, which essentially is making us spy things. That side of things is like, that's part of our day-to-day life, whereas the actual like, I can kill you with my mind, mwahaha, that's the ridiculous bit of it, whereas everything else, it seems as though, yeah, that almost seems realistic. They could probably brainwash you. They could, like, say, waterboard you until you said, okay, I believe you. Whereas it didn't seem that bizarre, apart
but
from
that had about the same amount of supernatural story base as my book with a couple of pictures in it. And there were only two signs of something slightly out of the ordinary in that show. Whereas it was, like, honestly, the story was really, really good. But the basis, like, you selling it to me going, yes, this is supernatural. It's going to be good.
Oh, well, I didn't show you the witch episode.
It's like me going, Charmed is amazing. It's like got a lot of day-to-day stuff. There might be some witch stuff in there I don't remember. It's actually really heavy with it. It's kind of like the opposite of what I was expecting.
Charmed is a very, you know, realistic portrayal of a life in your 20s, 30s living in San Francisco. But it's not what you watch the show for.
Exactly.
Again, you're saying, like, it's very spy based.
Definitely. I don't know. Just off of that episode, I would not by any means call it supernatural. Maybe superhero, it would probably come under the guise of now, because, you know, you've got Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I think they showcase a couple of people that've got like psychic abilities and, you know, fancy stuff.
It's
like
not very overt, is it? It's very, very subtle.
But is that just that particular episode we saw as well? Because, you know, in that same way, you could say X-Files, you know, say, oh, it's a UFO show, but not all of the episodes are about the UFOs, you know, it's,
this show is definitely a mix. It's occult.
That's the thing, say, having the witches do something and it looks very supernatural, it's very different from actually being, like, demons and actual entities, which could, because that's the kind of nuance there. Like, apart from the guy killing the other guy with his mind, there's really nothing in there that is unrealistic. Unrealistic in quotes.
I think I understand why it would be supernatural, because everything was very literal back when you guys were growing up, right? You know, so for supernatural, it's the super, like the extreme of the natural, like.
So I guess I can understand
now thinking about it.
Yeah, well, it's like, when you hear supernatural, I think like gods and demons, and that, like that extreme level of.
Yes, there are extremes, there's like low and high fantasy.
Yeah.
So your problem is with the show, is the way Justin described the show.
My
problem with it is that you don't have enough, like, genres to classify it. Whereas nowadays, we're like, supernatural. supernatural, sci-fi, fantasy. You were just like, it's supernatural.
Yeah.
There's no sci-fi, there's no fantasy, it's just supernatural. And you don't need all these other genres.
Yeah, it's probably like supernatural in the same way, say, thinking Torchwood was supernatural. Like, most of the stuff wasn't actually like, oh, this is supernatural. It's more like you're trying to find this thing and dealing with it rather than having. Yeah. Like, it was about aliens, but it wasn't like aliens coming invading. It was like, oh, this is a weird thing we can't explain.
Yeah.
Like,
so it could be classified as sci-fi, supernatural.
Yeah,
and something.
Yeah,
sci-fi,
fringe science.
Slash political intrigue.
Yeah, very politically intriguing.
Mm. Yeah. It's often compared to X-Files. And certainly when I started watching X-Files, I immediately thought, oh, that's like a mega factor. But watching it now, having watched Fringe, I'm seeing parallels to Fringe.
I saw a lot more Fringe. Like, to me, that episode where they're taken away and brainwashed, I actually think there's a Fringe episode where that happens. They take Olivia and they try to make her do all of this psychic phenomena that she doesn't know she's got, and it's all that. And I'm like, they've literally ripped that episode off. But there was more world-endy stuff in there, which is exactly what you said, you know?
I guess one of the features of watching this is it's very slow-moving compared with modern. You know, it's a slow boiler. It's slowly building up the anxiety.
It wasn't really feel dragging. Like, so apart from a few spots, it did feel as though this is actually leading somewhere, so it needs to be this slow in order to actually have the mood. It wasn't as though we are making this intentionally slow. It felt like it being leisurely paced, actually, the storyline made sense.
Feels like it was made for a time where you actually had time to sit down and watch a TV show.
Yeah.
But like you actually sit down at 7 o'clock, let's watch this. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Whereas nowadays it's like, let's smash through 7 seasons of this. Cool, we're done.
On Netflix.
Let's go.
Don't judge my binge watching.
It's all about binge watching.
I have binge watched this, so.
Yeah.
So, Jeanette, what's your view on the overall series? You've watched the whole thing.
I loved it when I was a teenager. And it's interesting because I was talking to my old school friend. We both watched it at the same time. And she watched it a few weeks ago.
Still holds up then.
Yeah.
Yes, I find it still holds up. Last time I watched it, years later, it was one of those shows. I remember loving this when I was young, but what's it going to be like rewatching it now? Mm. And we watched, it's really good. It holds up. Mm. I found it. But what was interesting was the ideas back then. People really seriously believed a lot of these things could be possible, whereas now watching it, the perspective is so different.
Yeah, because it's a bit cheesy. It wasn't overly cheesy. Like, it was a bit camp, but it wasn't, like, ridiculously so. It could have really played it up like, oh, it's psychic, woo, but it didn't really play that way.
And Louise Jamison plays a scientist. Her character is a scientist, not the coffee girl.
Yeah.
She's not the sidekick. She is very much on an equal.
With a miniskirt.
But then again, the other character, the character who had no lines but was somehow there. Like, you could have replaced her with a mannequin and it wouldn't have made any difference, I wouldn't think.
No.
She is the daughter of the scriptwriter.
One thing I also noticed is, despite the fact that it's made in Scotland, set in Scotland, the only people with Scottish accents were, like, minor characters.
I think all through the show, she is depicted as being the sort of pale, anemic-looking mind control victim of Dracula. So she's highly psychic and very powerful, but a puppet.
Is
this Morag character?
So
she comes into it more and more, doesn't she?
Yeah. So I think what they were showing us there was her guiding events under the nose of Drexel without him realising what's going on.
Because that's the thing, like, it didn't feel as though she was anything other than, like, this is the image of the person. Well, focus on them.
Yeah, I thought it was because the scientist was staring at her on the screen and so then she was projecting it to the guy. Like, I missed something there, obviously, but that's context.
That's probably something they go into.
I think that's something that's context based on having watched the series.
Because that could very well be another suspect that you don't even think about who's possibly behind the shooting at the end.
Yeah.
Who might have mind controlled the person to shoot Drexel.
I actually really like that effect. it's dodgy as hell, but considering the amount of dodgy special effects we watch in these shows, I thought that was really effective. Like that kind of heartbeat, da-dum, da-dum, and we're just seeing the image of her. You know, it's obvious that she's wearing black turtleneck, all black background, a bit of a Holly from Red Dwarf kind of effect happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very cheap and very effective.
Have you watched the Netflix series Dirk Gently?
Yes. Love it.
That felt like one of the underlying stories in the second season where they grabbed all like the test subjects and they're like trying to mind control them. That was literally just that underlying whole entire storyline. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Yes, we can. Because they all have the special abilities to do, like, crazy shit stuff.
But I wonder, a show like Dirk Gently that just borrows so much from so many different avenues, they would have taken aspects of that type of stuff.
One of the big features of the time was this idea that there's a danger of some totalitarian world control and possibly of this time in a different way.
Yeah.
But at that stage, there were lots of shows like 1990, where Britain had been taken over and was effectively Nazi.
Britain had lost World War II.
It was controlled by the Nazis, and it was all totalitarian. Yeah. There were other things that were, you know, Britain possibly going totalitarian, and so all these shows had that aspect to them.
Meanwhile, in our 21st century, we're joking, oh, hey, we're saying hi to the FBI person watching us through our webcams. Hi, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it's still a thing now, but we're kind of like, oh, it's a thing now. We're just kind of used to it. Whereas, like,
because it's happened subtly and gradually.
Yeah. We're just going, yeah, there's mind control. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I, for one, welcome our overlords.
Overlords watching me watching YouTube videos. Okay. Yeah.
So our overlords are out there listening to this.
I'm going to regret this when I'm the first against the wall, guys. I'm sorry.
But the question is that worse than being the last against the wall? That's the real question.
Well, so it comes back to, I know we're completely segueing here, but it comes to that whole zombie apocalypse. If something happens in zombie apocalypse, do you want to be the last one running around in a post-apocalyptic nightmare, or do you want to be the one that gets knocked out first and foremost and don't have to deal with that stuff? So,
and
you know,
does the brain eating.
Double tap, man. Yeah. It's not an issue.
It'll sort things out. It's because we'll be in a rural area where there's no zombies and we'll just survive the apocalypse without too much issue because nobody cares about mutual Australia.
I'm really sorry we got really off.
Nobody cares about Gola. We're all safe.
Yeah.
All right. In terms of rewatchability, you know, people now, what advice would you give them? Is this something that's worth watching? Is it historical purposes only?
I think it works. I think it's just it feels very slow. Like, for example, say I didn't get that scene when they were talking about eidetic memory and the guy's watching slides on his screen and it's like, okay, is there a point to this scene or are we just doing this for the heck of it?
Yeah, that scene stood out, and also
there's like, okay, why is he looking at old pictures of like Hieronymus Bosch?
I was going to say it was Hieronymus Bosch pictures,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
What's
it
that got to do with it?
It's Garden of Good and Evil or something like that.
No, it's the Garden of Unearthly Delights. Garden of Earthly Delights.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the point is like, they just had that scene in there. It's like, okay, is this just for setting mood? Is this a plot relevant thing?
Having the memory that's strong enough, right? I think is actually got something to do with the people that have been brainwashed, because you're aware of that person or that image that you've seen, right? It came up a lot in the show where it was like, I can see the person right now, I have to go towards this. But like, you know, it's kind of like, I've been to this space, I know where to go. That's literally all that was.
It
was like an underlying hint.
In the sort of period of, you know, Dennis Wheatley and, you know, those kinds of novels, the belief was that people with eidetic memory were the ones that were most likely to be able to see into the astral plane or impress other people with the image they're imagining and things like that.
And easier to brain control.
Yeah. And easier to brain control and all those kinds of things. So it was very much a hearkening directly to occult lore.
But yeah, just the fact that, say, I'm sure like a lot of those scenes, if you made them today, would be like 2 seconds cut between, like, say,
oh absolutely.
Yeah, like this is the cut to, oh, we're talking about this issue, and then it cuts to whatever, and then it cuts to back.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would be the editing of today, just because.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Like, they could squeeze that into half hour easily.
So, Angus, what do you think about rewatchability? How do you think the sort of Marvel movie generation would respond to that?
I think they'd probably be on their phones through most of it. They'd probably not initially connect. They'd probably have a bit more trouble with that just because of the attention span of the modern youth.
Yes, those young people, not like you, Angus. Yeah. Already talking about youth as past tense.
Oh, that's depressing.
It gets worse, mate. Strap yourself in.
No, I don't think too many people would jump at watching it, but I feel like if people would be willing to give it a chance, they might enjoy it a bit more than... Mm. I feel like it's the sort of show people would enjoy more than they'd expect to.
Yes. Yeah, I think also, like, in the right mindset going into it, like, say, Gypsy being disappointed, I think going into it and talking about... I'd probably say, like, the mood is very dark and mysterious and you can't trust anybody and you're not sure what's going to happen. Putting that mood ahead of it may help them get interested in it.
isn't it?
Gypsy, what do you think about
it? I think if you're going to watch it...
Being the most disappointed.
No, I think it's worthwhile watching it if you have it in the background while you're doing, like, other things. Like, I'd probably watch it while I'm doing art or something like that, or uni work. But otherwise, if you're not going to do that, watch the storyline through another TV show. Probably the easiest way. You'll still see the storyline. Yeah, you'd still get the same outcome. I feel like there are a lot of shows that have got...
That have gone on top of...
Like, this is the basis, and now you're just going on to other...
That's right.
It's the Monkees, but for, like, serious TV.
That's a weird metaphor. Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay.
So next month, we'll watch something that's developed out of it and see.
Do it gently, then.
Actually.
So we were looking at Kolchak the Night Stalker as possibly the next one, which is very different than this. Slightly earlier, as was pointed out to me by Alex.
Yeah, and I was like, this is a weird thing. I'm going to check it up on my phone.
I thought it was actually later, but it's earlier.
No, it's from 75.
But a very different viewpoint. Again, it's one of those things where every story is recognisable because every storyline has been seen later somewhere in some other series.
Later.
Genre, is it?
Similar genre.
It's supernatural.
Slow moving. I'll bring my art books.
Not so slow moving at all. It's American.
The only thing I know about Kolchak Night Stalker is that the guy who created X-Files literally was inspired by that show.
Oh, okay.
You know, when people say, what made you come up with the idea? And he's like, I had to put together a show and I love that show.
I've never seen X-Files.
Okay, so
we're doing X-Files.
X-Files. X-Files is after Night Stalker.
Next month, Kolchak, month after, we're doing X-Files.
And we'll have a special for Fringe.
Ah.
Because we've got to watch Fringe then.
Yeah.
And it has to be a special because it's post-2000.
Okay, so that was the Cult TV Club. And we've just been watching The Amiga Factor and not The Amoeba Factor.
They did show an Amiga symbol, in there. They got their obligatory Amiga symbol on there.
That's the secret Amiga.
That's the secret organisation, of course.
And for those of you listening to this at home, we all did go, ooh, at the same time.
I saw my phone.
Youth these days.
Yeah. You're younger than me.
And that was the Cult TV Club. Goodbye.
Ciao.
See you.